Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing, but of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Why, hello, Carolina.
Why, hello, Jeff Jensen.
Oh, let's make you louder here. Talk.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Oh, wow, that's
too loud.
Better.
That's too loud for me.
Well,
your
headphones are too loud, right?
Yeah,
How about if I lower the headphones?
That's perfect.
Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Oh, all right, honey.
Are we on?
I love you, sweetheart. Yes, we're on.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Yeah. Hey guys, it's the Carolina Cadillo Show. I'm Carolina.
Hey, Jeff here.
Hey, hi you guys. You know what? Today we have a really, really fun interview. We interviewed Chris Estrada. Jeff, he's a well-known comedian.
Yes.
I really didn't know too much about his work until today. So they have what's called a series called This Fool on Netflix. It's on Hulu.
On Hulu.
On Hulu. I'm so sorry. We take that back.
Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Yes.
Hulu.
Anyway,
Hulu,
gosh,
Hulu,
Jeff.
Hulu. Just think of the Hulu girls.
You saw the episodes, right?
I've watched one episode.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, Jackson sat down next to me watching
Our 5-year-old.
And then Christopher. That was his character in The Sopranos. Oh, my God. Give me his name.
Oh, I don't even know his
name. Oh, my God. I can't remember his name. Michael Imperioli.
Yes, yes.
Said MF, and that was it. I had to turn it off. But very funny. You've seen the trailer.
I saw the trailer. It is beyond funny, you guys.
Tonight,
oh, my God.
Tonight, I will watch an entire episode. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu, yeah.
It's streaming now.
Yeah. Aired on the 12th.
Started
but you know
12.
What, guys? So on the interview today, we have Chris Estrada, Frankie Quinones, and Laura Patalano.
Right, that is three.
Oh my gosh, Jeff, it is so funny.
It's very funny. It's funny.
Yeah,
you've only seen the trailer.
Yeah,
you
I know.
See
I
can't
stop laughing. My gosh,
it's
funny. So funny. Yeah. So, guys, in a couple
this
of minutes,
fool.
We have that interview coming up, and it starts on the 12th on Hulu. So make sure just listen to the whole podcast, and at the end you'll see the interview. Hear the interview with the three comedians.
Hugs, not thugs.
That's the name
That's the name of the group that they've got on the show that's run by Michael Imperioli.
Yes, but in a few minutes we'll talk more. And
from
we'll
The
get,
Sopranos. He was yes. Christopher, hey, in The Sopranos.
We'll get more about what it's about and check out the interview, okay? So anyway, Jeff, what's going on in the news? Anyway, I actually wanted to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
This is super controversial. Tom Brady has been in the news. He's always in the news, okay?
Right.
But this time they said people are like bashing him and his wife, Gisele Bündchen, because they asked him some questions about his family.
Right.
He said the hardest part about parenting is his wealth.
Yeah.
He said his kids, first of all, I'm sorry, but that is so dumb. First of all, the Gisele Bündchen comes from a very simple family where I think they said that they only had 2 bedrooms for a large family. And he said his mother did laundry, normal stuff, family.
They came from normal
exactly, background. Exactly. But he said his kids, everything gets done for them.
Right
they're
there.
12 years old, and they're 12, I think, 10 and 6.
They have everything.
Yeah. First of all, why don't they have chores? Why don't they have chores?
Well, because they've probably been spoiled since birth.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
That's the problem.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And you know what I'm doing with our son, Brennan? You know what I'm
chores.
Doing?
Chores. This feels like you're talking to me in 1974. You do your chores.
No, but he's got to clean his room, And what I'm doing now is I'm giving him like a quarter or 50 cents, and he's been putting that in his little bank.
Does he say, what the hell is that quarter?
No, he doesn't.
What the hell?
But I don't know, Tom Brady,
why don't you give me six
you
pesos
weren't born rich. You were not born rich. Why don't you know how to be, I'm sorry, like.
Because he's been rich for so long at this point.
Okay, but you weren't born like that.
No, but that's the world you're in now. You know what I mean? Listen, a lot of people I know who came from normal backgrounds and achieve great wealth or become different people.
Yeah, but I know people.
Yeah, it sounds so serious, don't
it? But I know the people with wealth, Jeff, and their kids who are young kids still have to make their own beds.
Well, Tom Brady's kids don't make their own
beds? They do not. They have maids who do what I'm telling you, the maids do everything for them.
Oh, that's a mistake.
They get a limo to school. I'm like, okay, really?
Tom's got to stop that shit right away.
Exactly.
Yeah, same for her.
Exactly.
Wow.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah, I would think that if you were born like that, you were raised your entire life from, you know, you have, that's your life, that you would know better. I don't want to say they're bad parents, okay?
No, but you can't judge people.
But your parents' parenting skills sometimes go on to you, right?
Yeah, definitely. But what it is when you have a lot of money and you complain in the public or even in an interview about some problem you have, you know what the world's going to say to you, right?
Yeah.
F you, you know? But even though, you know, it is in his family, I'm sure it's an issue, but realistically.
He has so much money, how are we going to raise his kids?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Who let them make their own beds. Oh,
they said they do nothing for themselves.
But each kid gets a $7,000 allowance
per
week, I heard.
Probably.
Can you imagine, right?
Probably.
Imagine the amount of money.
Oh, my gosh, I know, right? But who takes a kid takes a limo to school?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you want your kid to be also
safe. That I wouldn't want.
But how about Tom or Giselle? You know, how about carpooling?
Well, his kids take limos to school?
Yeah. Right.
So he's to blame for doing some of this stuff.
Kind of,
big time.
How about make your own bed?
They probably don't know how to make their own bed.
Exactly. I make Jackson put away all his toys every day. I know with you, he gets away with it. You put it away. No, not with me. He puts it away.
After a while, I just give up. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Just leave it. Mommy will be home in 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And the first thing she says when she walks in the door is, oh, my God, what happened to this house? It's true, though, right?
Jeff and I we went out to dinner a couple nights ago, and we met a couple. They had three kids, and we have Jackson, all right? We started talking to them because, first of all, it's three kids. One was like Jackson's age, a 5-year-old.
Then an older brother.
An older brother and a 2-year-old.
And his sister was like two, right?
And they're
three?
All,
three.
They were all over the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the parents were enjoying their wine and beer.
Yeah, I'll have another round, the guy said. It was great.
Meanwhile, I'm like, Jackson, where are you?
And the mother, she knew. Caroline was talking to her. Carolina was talking to her, and the mother was basically saying, you know, once you get to three. You know, you're like, as long as you don't hear, like, we were at this event.
Yeah.
And this woman, it's similar, but that one woman was running around.
Yeah.
And there were these tunnels. It was a children's museum.
Yeah,
and some fun stuff. And Jackson's running around there. And you couldn't see your kids. They were going in these dark tubes.
Exactly.
And the woman's sitting there all casual. I'm thinking, she doesn't have any kids here. And I'm saying, Jackson, she says, unless I hear a scream, I don't get up, right? That's what she said?
Exactly.
And she said, unless I hear crying.
Yeah, or a broken bone.
And then she said, I can determine, just like the father in the restaurant the other day said, he can determine whether is it bleeding. He was funny, right?
Oh, my God.
Said, does it hurt?
Does it hurt? Are you bleeding?
Are you bleeding?
Anything broken?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Go
play.
Exactly. Move on. I'm sure everybody listening to this who has kids knows this deal.
And meanwhile, we're not like that. We just have one child. So we're beyond, in my case, I'm beyond protective. Beyond.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to be.
As a first-time parent. But anyway, so people are bashing Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen, you know, because like they were not rich, okay?
Right. But, you know, I have to say this. Social media does this to people. You know, in that restaurant we ate at the other night, they had a sign up on the wall. And it said, we all want to have a good time. If you're mad at the world, come here another night. That's what it said on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the world on the internet is mad. Everybody's mad. Everybody's pissed off. Everybody's mad. You know, text doesn't show emotion. So you look at something and somebody could be joking around. And you're like, well, fuck you. You
know,
right? Because you're so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see that the Rust shooting with Alec Baldwin has been ruled an accident?
Oh, really?
It's an accident.
But Jeff, the husband of the woman that supposedly you know, that supposedly he shot the gun and killed her.
Yeah.
He's suing. He's suing Alec Baldwin.
Oh, of course.
He's suing everyone.
Of course.
And I think he's also suing the state, too, as well.
See, I think even though it's ruled an accident, he could probably, I don't know the legality. We'd have to get like a real attorney on the show.
Yeah. If you're an attorney, you want to come on the show, please call Jeff, 516-637-3254.
If we have a lawyer listening to the show, I'll be in shock. Kidding.
What are you doing listening to our show?
Learning things about legal.
Really,
legal
Jeff?
World.
Huh? Interesting.
Why?
Interesting. I didn't think that. I thought that some charges would be brought on him. You know that against him.
New Mexico agency issues decision. Further proof Baldwin shouldn't face criminal charges. His lawyers say.
Oh, okay.
That's
like I said. The husband of the deceased woman, you know, is suing.
See, and the FBI analysis of the revolver that Baldwin used that had in his hand during the shooting suggested it was in working order at the time. It would not have discharged unless it was fully cocked and the trigger was pulled.
Mm.
Okay, so you know the FBI is saying something a little bit different as opposed to what the New Mexico agency is saying.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
I fired a gun. I fired weapons, you know, Caroline.
You do?
Yes, I've fired guns in my life, Caroline. Yes, I have to defend myself.
Well, that's because your dad went hunting all the time, right?
Yes, and I didn't go hunting, but I did fire the rifles in the woods. I shot cans and things
you
like
did?
That.
Wow.
Yes, I tried shooting a coin. My dad shot quarters with his rifle and could hit them.
Really?
But a rifle is, you know, you get the crosshair, so you can aim and hit things.
Oh,
hitting someone with a pistol. When you watch television, they hit people. When guys shoot somebody with a pistol and they hit them, and they're running, it's really really difficult.
Really?
I mean, that's why the whole idea, not to get on a tangent here, but the whole idea of arming teachers to protect your kids in school
that's
is crazy.
Issue,
because,
yeah.
I'm just saying because the emotion, the adrenaline, the emotion.
Yeah.
You know, if imagine law enforcement professionals can't hit things sometimes.
Yeah.
How are teachers?
Yeah.
You take a 2-week. Oh, there you go. You take a 2-week class. Now you can fire a gun. So Alec Baldwin, by the way, has been on sets and fired weapons before.
Yeah. But Jeff, remember a few weeks ago? I don't know. Remember the pastor here? I think in Brooklyn. He was robbed at gunpoint while preaching, and they stole like $1 million worth of jewelry off him and his wife that they were both wearing.
Yeah, $1 million worth of jewelry. You're preaching with $1 million worth of jewelry on it. I have a suggestion for everybody. When that collection plate goes out, break it, drop it on the floor, bust it into a million pieces. Don't give that guy another penny of your money. What kind of preacher is that wearing $1 million worth of jewelry?
I don't know.
Do you believe anything he had to say?
I don't know.
Come on, they
said that he blamed social media. For bragging about his wealth and his Bentley, you know. And he blames the social media for the reason he got robbed.
That's like the Creflo Dollar. Remember him on television all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Built like a 78-room mansion or something.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I don't know.
He's still around, though, I think. But
Creflo,
not as popular.
Creflo's still around.
Yeah.
What's his name? Stole his thunder.
Who?
You know.
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen,
I love Joel Osteen. I mean, I really believe he's a man of God, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know if these people who make millions and millions of dollars off God.
Well, they said that. They said Joel Osteen makes his money off his books.
Books, right.
He does not collect money from his preaching. All that goes to the church.
Why bother when he made $87 million off books?
Hey, he writes them, you know, so why not, you know?
Books.
Anyway, so, well, okay. I wonder if the wife, the husband of the deceased woman that died, is gonna continue suing.
His wife's not here anymore.
Yeah, I know. Left a 12-year-old child.
He's gonna be flipping out. You know, you don't know if Alec Baldwin. He's probably not allowed to contact him.
Yeah,
I would imagine, right? Yeah, There's no contact involved.
It's a shame.
There.
It's a shame that all happened. It really is. You know that?
Crazy, right?
Jeff, so you know what's trending? It's always been trending though. Gender reveal parties, right?
Yeah. There's been big accidents with them, you know? There's been like problems. There's been all these wacky things that have happened. Like they'll set off a cannon and they'll kill grandpa. You know, but they've hurt people.
Well, anyway, because instead of just doing the normal, you know, they pop the balloon and whatever sprinkles come out, whether it be blue or pink, that's your gender reveal party right there, okay? Anyway, the latest trend is the gender reveal party. Where you have two strippers dancing. One is wearing a pink bikini. The other one's wearing the blue bikini.
Okay.
And they both are dancing on the pole. The last one who stays on, that's the sex, the baby.
And does he do a lap dance on, she do a lap dance on daddy?
I don't know.
Is that daddy's?
They're just, well,
he's like,
who
okay,
thinks that, of these things?
See,
thinks?
That boner made a baby. Let's see. Let's see how the boner does.
Who thinks of these wacky things?
That is Daddy deciding that's how he's going to do the gender report. Why is my phone ringing?
I don't know, but who decides these things? I think it's just crazy, you know that?
You don't notice the iPad's ringing. But I took that off cellular service. Okay.
But anyway, I'm like wondering, who decides these wacky gender reveal parties?
Because people are trying to top each other. Top this?
Whatever happened to just cutting the cake and whatever the color of the frosting is? That's the sex of the baby, you know?
How about a balloon and you pop the balloon and if there's a pair of balls hanging in the balloon, it's a boy.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Another
idea.
If there's a bra, it's a girl.
That's another idea.
Like very feminine, very masculine, you know?
But anyway, so this gender reveal party with the two strippers, Jeff, they both kept dancing and dancing.
Really?
So what do you think the couple were having?
Twins.
Yes, a boy and a girl.
Twins.
A boy and a girl.
Via twins. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So
is there a video?
Yes, there is a video. I don't know. They didn't finish the video. I don't know if they take their clothes off. I don't know.
Did I ever tell you, you reminded me of I DJ'd this party once. This is like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And they had the stripper come out. Like, what kind of party was it? It was a party. Adults and kids were there, okay? But I remember this woman came in and did this, like, wacky dance, all right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just offhand, like, she had left at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was not she was not a spring chicken.
Okay.
And I just remember I had the mic in my hand, and I said, the strippers left. She went to be with her grandchildren. And the whole room broke up because this woman was like, she was grandma age.
Really?
She shouldn't have been dancing, okay?
Well, but if she has the body, why not?
I just don't know. She wasn't.
Well, Luis Jimenez, Jeff, he used to say, and I don't know, he says, the strip joints, if it's open daytime, the daytime
day strippers are the worst.
They're not as I guess well shaped.
They're doing it because they got two kids at home that are in school during the day, maybe three, maybe four, maybe twins.
That's what
we got, twins, five kids.
That's what Lisa tell me too. But I remember we being dated a stripper, remember?
Oh, that's right.
I wonder did we ever ask him if he was jealous?
Oh yeah, we've asked him that.
What did he say?
Because he was all business.
I don't believe that.
All money.
All
money.
I
used to go to an occasional strip joint before I knew you, Caroline.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a local place here called the Raven's Nest.
Yes, which is no longer there.
No longer there. Moment of silence.
Good.
There you go. It was next to the mini golf place, which was funny. It was next to Putter.
Yeah.
Now it's a Wendy's. Anyway, nonetheless, when I used to go to the Raven's Nest.
Yeah.
Now you threw me off with my train of thought here.
What happened to Raven's Nest?
I can't believe I forgot the
daytime
story.
Strippers?
Yeah, I didn't go during the day. I only went at night. I used to go after I DJ a party. I would give the
and
girls
what's the type of strippers do you see at nighttime?
Oh, no, girls just trying to make a living.
Okay.
But I had a point to the story, though. Now I have to remember this at another time. It went right out of my head as I looked at you. Because I'm thinking of my beautiful wife, not thinking of the strippers at the Ravens Nest. But they had daytime strippers and nighttime strippers.
Like I said, what Luis used to say, the daytime strippers are more like the stay-at-home moms that you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're. I was in 7-Eleven a couple months ago, and I remember there was this girl, she was in this really skimpy outfit, and she's stocking up on snacks, and the place across the street is there. And I knew what she was there for.
Oh, really?
Just stocking up for the night, have some goodies to eat.
Boca Chula told me that he used to see a stripper, that it was his favorite one, but she had, the stretch mark. She just had a baby.
Really?
And he would bring her flowers.
Wow. It's classic.
Single mom.
You know what I remember? You know what I remember more than anything? You know what the Ravens just had? Talking about cheesy. Check this out.
What?
The girls, they're working, the standard tip was always a dollar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? Well, they had a jukebox for the girls to pick their songs. So the girls would stand there and pick the songs they wanted to dance.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a DJ.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, it wasn't set on free play. They were actually giving dollars back to the house. They had to put dollars in. That was their payback to the house for working there.
Are you serious?
Yes. So, each night, each girl, let's say hourly, let's say a girl would come up and do, I don't know, two sets. They come up, I don't know, because there's a bunch of, so they each take
a turn,
20 minutes, whatever the case is. So, these girls would be feeding dollars into the jukebox. I'll never forget, I'm saying to myself, they're paying back the house. You
oh, my God. But how many songs would they play?
I don't know. I didn't go that many times. I don't know. They play like five or six songs.
You don't
songs.
Know. Okay.
No. But it reminds me of when I worked for this guy, Ronnie, who ran I used to valet park cars when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And Ronnie had, he was like a low-level mobster, but he said.
Yeah.
Drove a yellow, banana yellow Cadillac.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Ronnie ran the parking lots. Like he met, like the, in other words, I worked at Capriccio here in Jericho, Italian restaurant, really nice Italian restaurant. So Ronnie ran the parking lot. In other words, the restaurant didn't want to deal with valet parking, so this guy Ronnie went around to all the fancy restaurants and said, "Listen, I'll hire the guys, okay? So and I'll manage the parking lot. You know, they had the keyboard. Not the keyboard, but the keyboard. The board where you put the keys each. So anyway, Ronnie would come around each week. The deal was. I would pay Ronnie to work for the privilege of working. He'd get a kickback from me working in his parking lot.
Oh, really?
Every night he'd pull up in the Cadillac at some point. Yeah. Like he'd make the rounds.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be making like $16 for like $16 in a weekend was a good night.
Wow.
And then Ronnie would take five of my dollars.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Interesting.
So he could continue driving the banana yellow Cadillac. And you know what's funny about Ronnie? Ronnie was the only white guy that lived in this massively black neighborhood. It was kind of funny.
Wow.
I went to a party at his house, and it was kind of funny because Ronnie was the only white guy in his neighborhood. He had a great house.
Oh, my God. Hold on. This is funny, though.
He was connected, as my friend. Remember, anybody growing up in Long Island, if you knew anybody who was Italian, they had an uncle, it was always, my uncle's connected. Okay. They're all connected.
Anyway, that's the gender reveal party. That's trending now.
I went on a tangent there.
I know.
You like my tangent, though?
Exactly.
The bikini thing's crazy, though. How many mommies would tolerate that?
I don't know. I wouldn't. That's not type
I saw
of
one with
gender
the, like,
reveal party I would want.
Didn't you see the one where like, the paint blew up? And it was like blue and pink paint.
I've seen that,
And the blue paint blew up all over Grandpa. Like, he's coated in paint.
Yeah.
I've
seen where the gun where it shoots paint.
Yeah.
The woman would shoot into her husband, whatever color that
and
is.
And really blasted him, right?
Yeah, really blasted him, yeah. So pink or white.
Serves your right for trying to make a big deal.
What else is trending, Jeff, is women who are getting married, and I don't know if you would allow this, women who are combining last names to make one last name for both of them. Like, let's say my name is Cadillo, yours Jensen.
You'd be Jendillo?
Yeah, exactly. You'll be Jendillo too.
No.
That's the trend.
No.
Combining
way.
Last names to make it a new last name for the newly married couple.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but I totally get that because growing up, when I was a young man, I always said to myself, I can't believe girls have to change their name when they get married.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be upstairs.
No, you're staying down here. Stay right there on that couch. Podcaster.
Yes. Anyway, so that's what's trending, you know that? And I
Jensen.
Like, yeah, I mean, Jensen.
Did you mind being Jensen?
No, I don't mind.
No,
I didn't mind
at
all.
Did it take you a while to get used to it? It took her years to get used to it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's why.
She's still Carolina Cadillo. You have an email. It's your name, right?
Yeah, I'm not changing that, but it's Jensen now. It's Jensen.
Yeah,
Jensen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's trending, too. But I don't know if a lot of guys would go for that.
No way, man. Some things are tradition, you know?
And then some women choose to keep their... I know someone I work with, Jeff, she chose to keep her maiden name because she didn't like her husband's last name.
Well, I know people who've gotten married and hated the new last name, but had to deal with it.
Yeah,
sometimes then they'll hyphen it, right?
Yeah. So, but this woman didn't like her husband's... I mean, you're getting married and you don't like your husband's last name. She kept her maiden name.
Really?
And... the husband's okay with that. So.
Like, you know, I think to myself, like, you know, on Facebook, people do it all the time where they come up with new names because they don't want to, you know, people know who they are. You're trying to hide from people.
Mm-hmm.
So people, like, I go through my Facebook list now and I see Kim Lampshade. I'm like, who the hell is Kim Lampshade? I'm like, oh, that was Kim so-and-so. They change their name on Facebook.
Yeah.
I used to be Jeffrey Jensen on Facebook.
Now, wait, what do you know?
Then I went to Jeff Jensen.
Okay.
Because people would always answer me, right, Jeffrey, and it just seemed very formal.
Everyone, a lot of people call you Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Webin calls you Jeffrey.
He does. Webin does call me Jeffrey.
Anything else before we get our interview?
I had a story. You know, Mariah Carey is in a lawsuit. Have you seen this?
What?
There's this woman named Elizabeth Chan who's recorded Christmas albums for years. She calls herself the Queen of Christmas. Okay, well, Mariah Carey is... what do you call it? She's filed a lawsuit against Mariah Carey's application to trademark... using Queen. Mariah Carey is trying to become the Queen of Christmas because okay. of her. All I, you know, all
yeah,
I
was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this woman is already known as the Queen of Christmas, so she's filed a lawsuit against Mariah Carey. She's the filing notes that Chan has used the brand Queen of Christmas in United States commerce in connection with, among other various goods and services, the sale and licensing of music, books, and entertainment services over the last decade.
I'd like to see who wins that case. I'm interested in that. I'm curious.
Some people have chimed in. Darlene Love, who sings, you know, Christmas, Please Come Home. Mm-hmm. She says, is it true that Mariah Carey trademark Queen of Christmas? What does it mean that I can't use that title? David Letterman officially declared me the Queen of Christmas 29 years ago.
Wow. See?
So imagine like fighting over the Queen of Christmas.
Yeah. I'm curious to see who wins.
I cannot believe that song is so popular. It's okay.
Of course. I mean, but you know.
You know, I just, it's not the singing dogs. Do they know it's Christmas time?
At Christmas time.
Jeff, why don't we get to the interview, right? They're calling, Robert's calling in any second now. So, guys, coming on the 12th, This Fool starting, Chris Estrada, Frankie Quinones, and Laura Patalano. It's going to start on Hulu. They're coming up next, so enjoy the interview, okay?
Enjoy, everybody.
Oh, okay, the recording's ready. Let me push Got It here. Sorry, you're seeing only the white guy here. You can't see my lovely Latino wife. I'm gonna have to flip the iPad around.
You guys don't want to see me today. I am no makeup free.
Don't worry, I'm makeup free too. I got a microphone in front of my face. Sorry,
my husband, the white guy. So you're just facing him right now.
I'm good. This is the Carolina Cadillo Show podcast. My wife was very famous in New York radio. She's still famous in New York radio. We're so happy to have you guys on. We watched the trailer for This Fool.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I was dying. It is so funny. Chris Estrada, welcome to the podcast. Frankie Quinones, welcome to the podcast. And Laura Patalano, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, Chris, tell us a little bit of a synopsis of the series so people... don't give too much away because we want people to watch it. So just give us a synopsis of what the series is about.
Yeah, well, basically the show's about Julio Lopez, a 30-year-old guy who lives in South Central Los Angeles, who suffers from existential dread and codependency. And he still lives at home. He's in an on and off relationship with his girlfriend since high school. And his cousin, who just recently got released from prison, moves in with him. And the thing about Julio is he sort of involves himself with other people's problems so he doesn't have to fix his own life.
Chris, so let me ask you something. You co-wrote this or you wrote the whole thing yourself?
I co-wrote it. It's inspired from elements from my life. And then I co-created the show with comedians, Jake Weissman, Matt Engelbretson, and Pat Bishop, who before this had a show on Comedy Central called Corporate.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you something also. The cast is amazing. I love the cast.
Oh, it's funny.
Did you have a big part in casting your actors, or was that up to someone else?
Absolutely. I had a big part in it. The guys from the showrunners who I created the show with, they really let me have reins over that while them having input as well. But you know, finding Laura was great because I was a fan of Laura's from years ago. She did an independent film called Mosquita y Mari, which was the first time I ever saw her. And I was really blown away from just by her acting and her just kind of authenticity. And Frankie was somebody that I knew, that I actually am friends with and I knew as a stand-up comedian from years ago. We went on the road together. And so when it came to casting that role, he really brought what we like to say, the Joe Pesci energy to the character.
Oh my God. I got to tell you guys, had the best chemistry. I could not stop laughing.
It's very funny. I wish we'd seen more, you know?
How many times did you guys like start acting and have to stop because you guys could not stop laughing?
Oh, quite a few times. I mean, I was lucky enough to be around a lot of experienced actors. My background is mostly in stand-up comedy. But so I think I probably broke the most, but getting to work with Laura and Frankie and Michelle Ortiz and Michael Imperioli, who are very experienced actors. It was, we broke a lot. I mean, definitely broke a lot.
Now, Laura, you play Chris's mom.
Yes.
What type of mom? Are you the typical Spanish mom?
I don't know how typical, but she's a passive aggressive. So I would say sometimes she's more aggressive than passive, but...
close to, is she close to what your real mom is like?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely reminds me of her. And, you know, there's this element of like ball busting or passive aggressiveness that I think my mom has. So I think she definitely nailed that.
How do you portray a tough neighborhood in a funny way? How do you find comedy in stuff like, you know, thug life, basically? How do you do that? Did you grow up around it?
Yeah, I grew up in Inglewood, and as an adult, I lived in South Central Los Angeles. So, you know, I think the way you find the comedy in it is finding comedy in the mundane, in kind of the regular day-to-day life of
everyday stuff. Everyday stuff.
Yeah. I don't think you find comedy in the sensational. I think you find it in the mundane.
Yeah, the misconceptions mm-hmm. about the community, like living on the East Coast here, we hear South Central, you know, we think, I think of Snoop Dogg, you know, for some reason.
Yeah, that's
the
first thing of course. Comes yeah.
But there's more to life than that, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think like an East Coast equivalent could be like the Bronx, you know.
Okay.
Or like, you know, I think it's just finding the, we looked at it through a lens of class and like, you know, it's a working class neighborhood. And, right. then, you know, and just finding it through the humor through being working class.
So is Fred Armisen is he an executive producer?
He's an executive producer. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I always wonder, what does the executive producer do? Is he pony up money or is he like on set all the time? I always wonder these things.
No, his role was very supportive role. He actually comes out in an episode. He's in episode 9, which he plays a really great character, but his role was really one of being a supporter and a voice for on the business side. When we went to go pitch the show, he was there with us. So it was a big deal to work with him and for him to say, I believe in this show.
Sure, it helps. It helps having a big name, right? Without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So Frankie, you just recently got out of jail, okay, in the series.
Yeah, in the series, yeah.
He looks too mild-mannered to have been in jail. What
kind of homework do you do so you can portray, you know, like that type of acting?
Yeah, well, to be honest, fortunately enough, I didn't have to do much homework. I just had to tap into my family experience and my upbringing. You know, my father is an old school cholo, still wears his button-up Pendleton, creases his Dickies, still has a lowrider. You know, his best friend was president of a lowrider car club for 30 years. But them having kids, they represented their culture, you know, the cholo culture, but we're all about their families, you know? So I pretty much was able to tap into them. And I have cousins that were like my brothers that my mom and dad would take in summers and all that. Unfortunately, they actually spent some time in prison, but they're those feel good stories. They came out, had kids and turned their lives around and did better. But, it's funny though, because when you ask, you're like, how do you find the humor in that? Like to me, like some of my cousins and their friends were like the funniest people I knew. And then all of a sudden the next day you would hear like, hey, you know, Ricky, like he was in a high speed chase. Homie, he's arrested now. And like, and they're like, what? Like you were just here making us laugh at the barbecue yesterday. Like, so there is a lot of, there is a lot of natural humor in there. But what I love about this show is it's not your normal cops and robbers. Like, okay, here's what cholos do. We're here to because we're trying to better each other's lives, even though we're all on the same playing field. Like I'm broke, Julio's broke. We both live at my tia's house. Even Michael Imperioli, who runs Hugs Not Thugs, a nonprofit, he's broke too. You know, so we're
everyone's broke.
Yeah. So I love that we're all like in this genuine, authentic like playing field, but we're trying to do better and make something better of our lives. And so it was a lot of fun.
Hugs, very cool. I have to ask, Hugs Not Thugs, where does that, who thought of the name? Because I thought it was like amazing. So funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, that was a name that I came up with when thinking of what to name this nonprofit. I thought it was, after trying a few names, that was the one that I go, oh, that's really funny.
Because I saw the bumper, I remember the bumper sticker, Hugs Not Drugs, years ago. So that's what makes it extra funny. The first thing
it just came from that. And, you know, that nonprofit was really inspired by several nonprofits around the country that, you know, some work with people in order to help kind of rehabilitate them after being involved in gangs or out of prison. So the idea of just like, hey, we're huggers. We're not bugs.
Excellent.
That was really funny.
Great.
Hey, you guys, I cannot wait to watch the full series. Starts in 2 days on Hulu. Guys, thank you so much for coming to the
podcast. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. And congratulations, Song Girl. You got yourself a white boy. That's what's up. Yeah.
I wish you could see her, man.
We get it, homie. It's okay. Yeah.
All right, take
care.
They're funny, right?
They were so funny. I love them. Loved interviewing them. I'm gonna start watching a lot of their episodes.
Yep. Hugs not drugs. No.
Hugs not thugs,
right? With a deal right there.
Don't forget, guys, check it out on Hulu.
Yeah, check it out on Hulu, everybody, all right?
Hey, guys, we're out of here. Love you. You want to advertise? 516-637-3254. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carolina Cadillo. Email me, carolinacadillo@gmail.com.
That's it, right?
That's it. We're out of
here. That's it,
man. That's it. Bye, guys.
See you tomorrow. Take care. Bye. Wicked.
Wicked.
Say it again, my boy. Selection. The Carolina Cadillo Show is a JJ production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.